This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. Time and time again, we come across news of data breaches, hacks, malwares, attacks, identity theft, and the list goes on. Based on the recent study, 34% of known causes are due to the negligent employee within the organization. So the question is, what can you do about it? I'm speaking to Alvin Toh, the CMO for Straits Interactive and also a Certified Information Privacy Manager. Alvin, let's talk about the PDPA. It's been nearly 2 years now since we in Malaysia have implemented the Personal Data Protection Act. In your opinion, what has been the driver in many countries pushing for acts like this to be in place?
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks. Well, it's a good question. In fact, we have seen this one having a great momentum, especially out in Asia because it's new. Overall in the world, right now it's to engender trust to facilitate commercial transactions with privacy controls. Especially now we have huge amount of electronic data transactions across countries. And in Europe, privacy is actually a human right. And in the US, it's a consumer right. In our own backyard here, in the Asian economic community, it was also inside the particular agreement for the countries here to enact their own respective data protection laws within the next 1 year, by end of 2016. So in international arena, the transborder transaction basically becomes a key driver. For us here, I think when I spoke even to some government officials here, they said that the free trade agreement is probably one of the key drivers. And for Malaysia, we want to be more competitive in our aspiration to be a hub in several areas like data center, educational hub. Then really, the respect for data protection and privacy is key.
What about the awareness as well? Do you see that, is there a difference in terms of, how well aware, the people here in Southeast Asia or in Malaysia are, known for, companies using your data and compared to, European countries where they seem much more aware and, they are, making noise about this?
That's a good question. Well, in Asia, right now the awareness is not that high. They know it exists. It becomes a lot more in focus once they have to deal with international firms. For example, if you're going to be dealing with a European firm or you're transacting with a firm in the US, they will ask you to sign something that, you have respect the data protection or privacy. Then suddenly the firms become very aware. They actually have demonstrated this. Look, if they are just local business, usually the awareness is not that high. That's something that we are trying to really address in the marketplace. Also in conjunction with the government and through our courses. It is an ongoing issue, both sides of the causeway.
But even with, acts like this in place in many different countries, breaches still happen time and time again. Why is this happening? I mean, is it the failure of an act itself?
Well, this one really is we see as issue of operational compliance. Many think the PDPA is just, a regulation and they do it as a paper compliance exercise. They put up a data protection policy, maybe do a town hall meeting, inform the staff, and say, okay, we have such a data protection thing you must follow, and that's the only time they ever mention it. So when you don't have operational compliance, that's when, the operation staff, even down to the secretaries, are also responsible. So data protection really is actually it's a responsibility at every level in the organization. The breaches we've seen are not from key management, but usually from operations staff, and it can even be the secretary to the CEO who disregard or maybe are unaware of the sensitivity of personal data and recycle certain things. And we've seen this, happening already.
Straits Interactive, they recently done a survey about, the types of breaches that happen. Tell me a bit about the survey. What came out of it?
Okay. So over the last 1 year, we have been helping companies towards compliance, and we conduct a course for compliance officer. So we've taken more than our experience of 100 over audits that we've done. We've taken 50 as a sample from both sides of the causeway even. And what were findings that we found was that 73% of the companies audited had exposed theft with confidential and personal data. 68% of them had uncollected prints and original left at the copier. 1 in 2, 50%, had risk associated with unlocked or exposed screens on their PC or mobile devices. unlocked cabinets or who are still keys in, still in the cabinet. And then 1 in 3, 30%, had papers, documents with confidential data thrown in a waste paper basket or recycle bins, which you could easily pick up. In fact, some recycle bin is not even locked, so you can open up, everything's in there. Now, These are the glaring breaches we've seen.
Yeah, so the first pointer, I think, is a bit interesting. 73% of companies audited had exposed desk with confidential and personal data. That's a staggering amount of personal data being left open here. Why is this happening?
Yeah, when we showed the result of this to management, their jaws are agape. Because they think, you know, everybody should know how to protect it, but it's just operational compliance. And like I said, if the operational staff are unaware that, you know, the paper or the forms that they have and they leave it lying around, it's not safe, because people like us could walk around. And again, staff internally, not everybody is aware of who the other person is, especially in large organization, or you have people walking through the offices. And it can be easily exposed, especially things of material interest to, you know, competitors or to the press. So these are things we've seen that, you know, 73%, many of them, they leave the documents on the table. They leave their computers open. So these are things that you can walk around, you can see, even without much fuss.
You know, it's like in the movies, you know, people can just walk in, take out their smartphones, take a picture, and, you know, everything's leaked out. Maybe I'm just watching too many movies, I don't know, but it feels like
exactly,
it.
Exactly, because it doesn't take Tom Cruise to get personal data from Mission Impossible in your organization, you know. It's as simple as walking through and they're lying on the table itself.
I'm speaking to Alvin Toh, he's the CMO for Straits Interactive and also a certified information privacy manager. And when we come back in just a moment, we'll talk about how do you comply with the new trends like BYOD and other types of mobility solutions. This is Tech Talk on BFM 89.9. This is Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu and I'm speaking to Alvin Toh, the CMO for Straits Interactive and also a certified information privacy manager. And we're talking about privacy programs that meet the current and also the future needs for businesses. Alvin, with more companies now implementing BYOD and other types of mobility solutions, you know, does this also cause to the rise in threats or, you know, data breaches?
A good point you mentioned. The new organization's trend has been that many people are bringing mobile devices in, and essentially they operate maybe 80-90% of their work on their mobile devices, whether it's their tablets or their phones. They access their emails, they download attachments. Those things have crept in organizations very quietly, and some of it are not well managed, where they allow the employees to do the mobile working. But when a key question we ask, what happens when you lose a phone, right, Jeff? So most of them answer, okay, first I'll cancel the line. I'll cry that because my data, or especially my photos, are lost. And then I go get my new phone, and then I move on. So we said, you know, if you already have access company information and your emails and stuff, those are actually company assets. So right now, with that breach, the company doesn't know that the data has walked out and now it's lost. So really, there was no way for the company to actually take action. Nor the employees are aware of the severity of the data that was lost on their mobile devices. So that is something that we see as a threat, because, you know, the use of their mobile devices also represents a much more open platform, especially where they are using social networking on their phone and their tablets. We've seen the rise of hacking and compromise on their social networking accounts. Subsequently, then they can take over the phone and then download stuff off their phone.
Yeah.
So that kind of threat, the employees may not appreciate that, you know, the data they've downloaded now suddenly becomes much more accessible because their tablets are not as well protected as their PC in the office.
You know, why are, you know, people causing this? Is it intentional? Are there, you know, people intentionally doing this, or is it just, you know, negligence, you know, the lack of education?
Well, as we look through the research, it's consistent. Majority of the threats or breaches have happened from insiders. In fact, Poneman Research had one at packed at 56%, and 34% of it is out of negligence, 16% from malicious, and 6% from failure to shred. So really, it comes down to the insiders, whether, and most of it's out of negligence. Mm. We see lax controls, mainly, where, for example, copies are made easily, retention of data beyond the transaction, so people keep piles and piles of it, and then nobody really gets rid of the personal data that no longer needed. Indiscriminate recycling. Mm. Another thing is lack of awareness. The last time the employees heard about the data protection was when they did the policy and it was a town hall meeting, then maybe 2 years ago. So really, the reminders and policies aren't really enforced in front of them. Competency, we don't see much monitoring in terms of competency of staff handling personal data and understand what needs to be done. And last one is systematic compliance. I mean, once you actually depend on individuals and you tell them 10 steps, you know what happens, Jeff, right? I tell you, there's 10 steps before you can do this, this, this. I think by Christmas, you probably remember 7.
Yeah.
Right? So by next year, June, you probably remember 4. So that is the problem, because if you don't have a systematic compliance and you put it on them with very onerous steps, chances are people will take shortcuts.
Now, you know, how can companies combat this? I mean, what can be done?
Well, we look at it at 3 levels. There's people, process, and systems. So on people's side, you need to train a couple of levels. One, obviously, is the management side to make sure that, you know, they are aware of the obligation to the PDPA and also the compliance people to be adept in terms of having policies that are enforced and monitored. Mm. On the process side, the process should be easy and for them to be able to monitor whether it's effective and then put in things that can be automated using systems. For example, having access control or limited printing, right? You know, device security, like you mentioned just now, the BYOD, bring your own device. Have ability for companies to be able to help the employees track it, or if not, wipe off the data if it's lost. Data loss prevention or document management, i.e., for example, if you already have finished the transactions, these things are supposed to be gotten rid of within a year, then there should be a system to scan that. Because right now, left to the employees, if there's no system to do it, I don't think any employee is going to be so hardworking to look through, you know, it's been a year, I should delete this data because we no longer need it. I've not heard any employee who remember that.
Any examples can you share on, you know, some of the innovative ways of implementing a better policy?
Well, the ones we've seen done well are, you know, we go through a few phases. We look at the life cycle approach, assessment, protection, sustain, and respond. The ones who do well, they have a sustained phase where they do monitoring, auditing, and communication tracking. So monitoring, they look at, you know, what's been effective. Mm. They look at auditing, baseline auditing, and then they actually will show the employees if anything is not quite right. And communication, they actually track their competency. So the life cycle approach just now, we use an acronym called APSR. APSR. So in assessment, they actually go through in terms of what are the things they are at risk. They are able to report on the compliance dashboards, and then they look at what exactly they're protecting. In the protection side, we look at controls across 3 levels, whether it's technical, which is the IT side, whether it's administrative, which is the contracts or the process, or it's physical, it can be easily as locks and all that, or even where people are sitting. Mm. Sustain side, I mentioned just now, the monitoring, auditing, and communication they need to do. And last thing, because it's a people-oriented exercise, there will be incidents that happen, so we look at response. What happens when, you know, people lose their device? What's the response organization? How do they investigate? When people complain, how quickly can they get to the root of the problem? And, you know, in regulation, there is actually an excess obligation that they have to respond to in a certain timely manner. Mm. So that's something that's important. And I think one key thing is to have a PDPA committee with the key stakeholders who understand the business and own the processes and controls and not leave it to a poor compliance officer in some corner of the office to be able to enforce data protection.
So how do you answer key management who may be wondering about if they are at risk and, you know, how should they go about it? What approaches or tool compliance heads can use to manage this efficiently and also more effectively?
Great question. I get this all the time in the management. So why should we do this? Should we do it even?
Yeah.
So let me answer one by one. So number one, they ask, hey, so where are we in compliance and are we even at risk? So, number one, they should have a way of reporting this quickly. We use something called compliance dashboard. And this exercise, really, for those who don't have a systematic way, can take a while because it's a lot of spreadsheet work. So there should be a way to report back to management in very easy to understand charts. So we use a compliance dashboard with only three colors, red, yellow, green. I think anybody can understand that. And then you work across the seven principles and say, okay, guys, this is where we stand. And yes, we are at risk in this area because we are not quite there in these areas. So management needs to understand that they where they stand, then they are willing to take action. So second one, you ask about who needs to get involved. Yes, most of the time, you need to get the stakeholders involved, i.e., it's not only just compliance department. It could be IT. It could be marketing department who is collecting the information, where we typically say whoever is collecting, using, disclosing, or storing personal data, those stakeholders need to be involved. And that governs the whole principle of the PDPA, the collection, use, disclose of data. So the, what we've seen so far is compliance department get in, IT is involved, marketing is involved, HR and finance are also involved. Because at the end, they're going to be deciding on the controls to be put across the organization.
Any risk involved?
So the next thing is, what are the risks, right? The management asks, so what are the risks, you know, in this PDPA? So where we look at is that there should be a tool or at least a process to get the gaps out and then identify and match the risks. So we do that in the exercise and assess phase, where the compliance dashboard, they need to do an inventory analysis of their personal data. They look at the data flow, where information is flowing in the organization, whether people make copies and, you know, whether they even encrypt certain data. So then they can see, oh, actually, there are risks when the data is on the move in the organization, or maybe we're actually being transferred out to another party as well. And then after that, they look at baseline audit. So after that, they can stack rank the risk. So you put that in the risk matrix, so that the management can understand, okay, there are 10 areas of risk, 5 of them are material to us right now, and these are the ones you take action. So management really wants a more concentrated view of, you know, what are the key things I need to work on? Is this at risk for us? So that's why we look at it, you know, there needs to be a more systematic approach so that it's more productive for both the compliance department as well as the management to decide how they want to go about it.
Well, how do we go about complying with the PDPA?
That's a $1 million question. So how do we go about complying with PDPA? We've worked with so many companies, big and small. You know, the most important thing is to have a systematic approach, because management doesn't have time to look at this too often. And most of the time, even a board meeting, we see that, you know, the compliance department is only given 10 minutes to update, right? So they say, okay, you need to comply, where are we? So that's why I mentioned having a life cycle approach is going to be important, so that you're able to report systematically back to the management where the compliance needle is moving in the organization. So having the assess phase, the protect phase, the sustain phase, and the response, and each of them have deliverables that the management can see. Okay, this is in place, our metrics are going up or down, and these are the top five we need to fix for this quarter or this 6 months. And that's important, because management, in the end, is key in order for enforcement of PDPA and also the buy-in from all the stakeholders.
And how do we stay compliant and also, you know, prevent data breaches?
Yeah, so we've seen a lot of data breaches. In fact, you've seen the major effect on key management and how quickly key management has been removed. Target, if you know, in the U.S. company, Target. Yep. It's a major department store. They had a breach in 2013, I think. And within 6 months, the CEO couldn't answer it to the stakeholders, and he had to step down, right? And, you know, because it was a major breach of 70 million records. Now, the most recent case you've seen was the Ashley Madison, right?
Yeah.
And that was a major breach, and that caused a lot of harm both to their customers as well as internally. It was found that they did not take proper steps to ensure the compliance to their data protection. And the CEO left within 3 weeks, right? So it's not even a month. So what was the issue there? How do they stay compliant? Because the monitoring and deciding on addressing the risk had to be there. And management needs to decide this is important enough for them to fix it. We see many companies buy very brand-name equipment, But when it comes to data protection and security, that is relegated quite far down the list because it's not something that's visible. And therefore, the processes and the investment in data protection is not as high as they would in the original infrastructure that they bought.
And I guess, you know, a very businessy question will be, you know, what is the ROI for, you know, compliance?
Yeah, so where right now we are talking to clients, the and also the insurance company, this is a couple areas. Number one, if you're going to be transacting with a multinational, many of them already have very strict regime in terms of data protection. The ROI for you is that you actually stand head and above shoulder against your competitor. If you can demonstrate accountability and a very clear way of having operational compliance. In fact, we've seen multinational now coming to audit our companies, even listed companies in this part of the world, who are strategic suppliers, and they want to see you demonstrate compliance in this area. So that is a big ROI because we've seen a company who have not complied and actually were taken to task, and the contract's been reviewed and given an ultimatum. Second one is that you can take cyber insurance to mitigate the risk. So if you actually have a systematic way of demonstrating your compliance, you become a better candidate for the insurance, right? So that's another good, I guess, an ROI, as it were, that you may have a lower cost of mitigating the risk.
Any other advice you can give to organizations?
Well, this thing is already present in Malaysia, Singapore, and, you know, like I said, AEC, and then there's something that we want to benchmark ourselves to global best practices if possible. And it's important companies have compliance manual and systems that are regularly updated and not something they kept on the shelf. The important thing is to appoint a data protection officer so there is a focal point that can answer to their data protection policies and enforcement. In fact, in Europe, by end of next year, they're mandating the firms of a certain size to have data protection officer. So again, you know, out here it is not mandatory, but the management are responsible. So we think it's good to have somebody who is competently appointed and trained in this area. So that's why in Malaysia we saw that there was a need for this, because many companies say, okay, we want to get started. Who's supposed to do this? And where do we look for such a person called a data protection officer? There isn't something that you can find in the market today, nor training. Universities aren't training at least right now. So you see a lot of merry-go-round, people pinching people. So we conducted now a popular course called Data Protection Officer course. It's over 3 weeks, and you can get people at least on a systematic compliance within that time. And so far, it's been very popular with firms big and small on both sides of the causeway. Because it now suddenly there's a systematic way, like I mentioned just now, the App Store, assess, protect, sustain, respond, and there's very clear deliverables where the compliance people can show to management, this is my game plan, this is how I'm delivering on the compliance, these are the stakeholders I need to get involved, and this is how we're moving the needle of compliance, right? Now, for the guys who are appointed as data protection officer, especially if they are in a larger firm and you want to do talent management or retention, you may benchmark to something called the Certified Privacy Manager. They might want to join the International Association of Privacy Professional, and they have regular updates on global privacy developments and have certification programs for both privacy manager and privacy technologist. And our company has been appointed to train people for that certification. And we've seen actually people who have gone through the certification have moved on to much, how we call it, better positions in other companies, simply because the multinationals are really looking for qualified personnel in this area, because it is a very important area right now.
I've been speaking to Alvin Toh. He's the CMO for Straits Interactive and also the Certified Information Privacy Manager, about privacy programs that meet current and the future needs of businesses. This is Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.